Good morning. Today's daf in Chagiga is, we are on the top of Hey Amad Aleph, towards the top of the Hey Amad Aleph. We're continuing the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara noted a number of psukim that made the Talmidei Chachamim come to tears. Got very emotional when reading certain psukim. A number of psukim in Tanakh are just difficult. And so if you read them and you internalize them and you really follow what the intent of the Navi is, so it's gonna provide an emotional reaction, and we continue along those lines. The Gemara today is going to be entirely, I got it to Hashkafa, and tomorrow we return back to the halachic section of the Masechta. Rabbi Yochanan Kimat Laikra, on Hey Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Rabbi Yochanan got to the following Pasuk, Bachi, so he would cry. Pasuk says, V'tisisene bo leval o chinam. So at least there was an attempt to swallow me, and for no reason. Pasuk in Eov. So, Evet Sharaba Masitin Lo V'Niseis Takana Yeshlo. So, once again, just a simple reading of the pasuk. So, you have a servant who is being tempted by his master, and so he's got any hope whatsoever. Rav Yochanan Kimat Lai Krabachi. Rav Yochanan also, when arriving at another pasuk in Eov, so he would also cry as well. Heim B'Kedoshav Lo Yamin. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have enough confidence and faith, even in the Kedoshim. So, Ibig Bigdoshav lo yamin beman yamin. So, if Akash Baruch Hu doesn't have confidence and faith in his Kedoshim, so who is he going to have confidence and faith in? Yumachadava ka'azaba or chechazilu gavra, dava makitani te'eni. So, to support this pshat of the pasuk, so the Gemara tells the following story. So, he was walking on the way, and he sees a person, and he was picking figs. So, shavik hanach damatu v'shakal hanach damatu. Now, oddly enough, so which figs were he picking? So, the ones that were not ripe. So the ones that were ripe, he left, and the ones that were not ripe, he took. So Amalei Lavhani Malin Tvei. So Rav Yochanan asked him the obvious question. Wouldn't it make more sense that you're going to be picking the fresh dates instead of picking the ones that are not yet ripe? So Amalei Ani Lor Chabinan. So the guy says to Rav Yochanan, I'm heading on a trip. And right now, I don't need dates to eat right now. I need for a couple days from now, a week from now. So, Hani Natron v'Hani Lo Natron. So, which dates now are better for the trip? So, the better figs for the trip, for the journey, the ones that are unripened. So, by the time I get there, when I need them, so then they're going to be edible. Amar Hainu Dichsiv. So, Rav Yochanan, after this particular incident, now goes back to the pasuk and he's like, oh, now I understand pshat. So, Hein B'Kedoshav Lo Yaminu. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have the Amuna in his Kedoshim, meaning he needs to take the Kedoshim now. So as opposed to a later point in time. Ini, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Talmida d'havei b'shivuse de Rabbi Alexandre. So there was a student living in the town of Rav Alexandre. V'shachiv adazutar. And he died at a really early age. V'amar ibai ham rabbanan havachaye. And now Rav Alexandre's comment on that person, on the Talmud Chacham, was that, you know, if he wanted to, he could have lived more. And so what Rav Alexandre was saying, I do not think he was saying this at the eulogy. That would be my best guess. Probably this was a private comment that for whatever reason shared with us, the readers of the Gemara, learners of the Gemara. But nevertheless, he said, you know, he could have lived more if he wanted to. So the Imisa, so the Gemara says, Ibai hai my rabban havachaya. The Imisa delma mehem bigdoshim lo yamin. So the hava. So the question, of course, is that we just learned the pasuk in Eov. And that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes takes kedoshim and he takes them early, and the story with the dates. And maybe this Talmud is one of those people. So what do you mean he could have lived more? So the Gemara says, Ahu mevai beravosav hava. So Rav Alexandre explained, no. In this particular case, I know the Talmud in, and he happened to have been, he was stubborn. More than that, he kicked his rebbeim. Literally, that's how it translates. So he was chutzpahdik to his rebbeim. And as a result of that, that's why he was taken from this world early. So I happen to know, right, this is difficult to say when anybody dies, But Rav Alexandre could talk like this. I know cause of death, and so no, he's not one of the Kedoshim. Rav Yochanan kimat al haikra bachi. Rav Yochanan arrived at the following pasuk. He also brought him to tears. This is a Malachi. The karafti aleichem limishpat. So I'm really close for judgment. Meaning, Akash Baruch Hu basically saying that, look, you do something wrong. So I'm here with the court, and we're ready for immediate judgment. And whom am I ready to judge? Those people who are practicing sorcery, uve menafim adultery, uve nishbeim l'sheker, swearing falsely, uve oshke schar schir, and not paying the workers on time. So this is the pasuk in Malachi. Evet Sharaba mekarv l'dono umamayr le'ido tekanu yeshlo. So you have a somebody who is going to be taking the judgment so quickly. Does he have a fighting chance? So I'm Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Oy lanu sheshakol aleinu ha-kosov kolos kechamuros. Another comment on this pasuk by Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, obviously earlier than Rav Yochanan, but still another comment on the pasuk is: look at the list of averos in this pasuk. So you have serious averos like niuf. You have less serious averos. Everything, of course, is relative. You have less serious averos mentioned in the pasuk as well. And meanwhile, they're all lumped together. They're all piled together in the same pasuk. So Rashi says over here, the oshke schar schir is, relatively speaking, on a lesser level. In other words, you're withholding payment from your workers. You still pay them, just delayed. And it's a form of gzela. It's a form of theft, but still, when all said and done, when you're putting theft up against the other averos mentioned, niuf and kishuf. Right, niyuf and kishuf are basically on par with one another because they're both capital crimes. Nevertheless, the Navi puts them two of them together, and that's devastating. So that means to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us quickly, both on the chamoros and on the kalos as well. Amar Shlakish kol amata dino shoger, kilamato dino shomala. You pervert justice of a convert, that's the worst. It's like you're perverting justice for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk says shenemar omate ger. So same parak of Malachi. That's why it comes up over here, presumably. So you are, the pasuk says, as umateger, the Navi's giving rebuke to the Jewish people that you're perverting justice, even on behalf of judging the ger, or especially when judging the ger. Umati ksiv. Now the way you could be read, this is a classic ksivukri. So it's written one way, and we have a mesorah in terms of how it's pronounced, but it could be pronounced another way, and it could be umati, and you perverted my justice, meaning. It says, "Ki'ilu, you were just you were judging a Kadosh Baruch Hu and perverting him." Am Rabbi Chinna bar Papa Kolausa Davro Mischarebo Mochel Lo Miad. Anyone who does an avera but has charati immediately after having done the avera, so there will be a mechila. Shenamar Lo Yiruni Ha Yiruni Mochlin. So if you have yira, if you have yira shemayim, so there will be a mechila. Okay, again, it comes up over here. Same perik in Malachi. Ha Yiruni Mochlin Lo Miad. Rav Yochanan came out to like Rav Bachi. Rav Yochanan got to the following pasuk, so he would cry. So this is the theme of today. Rav Yochanan arriving at certain psukim in Tanakh and it brought him to tears. A couple of psukim so far we've seen in Eov, two a pasuk in Malachi, and now a pasuk in Kohelas, the end of Kohelas. So the pasuk says, "Kis kol maaseh Elokim yaviv b'mishpat al kol ne'elam." So what are we going to be brought to justice over? Not only the things that people know about, but even the things that are hidden. Things that people don't know about, we're going to be brought to justice over that as well. So, and Nelam also to be understood over here as Nelam, meaning it was hidden from you, meaning you didn't even know it was Aser. In other words, you were a shogeg. Still, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring you to justice. And again, Rav Yochanan reading that pasuk, it's a harsh pasuk. It's difficult, and that's why it brought him to tears. So, Evet Rabba Shokol Oshkagus Kizdonos. When you have a servant where your intentional and even unintentional sins are going to be held against you. So takana yeshlo. So what chance do you have? My kol ne'alam. So what does it mean? I kol ne'alam. Amirav ze'ori kina b'fnei chaver v'nei masba. So the Gemara gives a couple of examples of things that you didn't, that were unintended. So unintended offenses against other people, and nevertheless, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat it as if it was a bad thing. So number one, you kill a small little bug, right? A louse, probably. And you do so in front of your friend, and it disgusts your friend. You had no intention of disgusting another person. In other words, you didn't want to be, you didn't want to be disrespectful. You had no intention to do so. However, you were careless, and he was disgusted by you killing the bug. So that is considered an example of ne'elam. Shmuel Amar ze'arak b'fnei chavero v'nimas. Another example is, let's say you spit in front of somebody else. So in the good old days, spitting publicly was something which was more the norm, more common. But still, in other words, it could be that you have somebody who is sensitive and you spat in front of him and he became disgusted. Once again, even though what you did is not wrong, nevertheless, you did so in front of somebody else. You offended him. That is considered a ne'elam. So fine. So that's pshat in the pasuk in Kohelas. As long as we're in this pasuk in Kohelas, so the Gemara now wants to darshan more of the pasuk. My im tov imra, whether it was good, or whether it was bad. What's pshat in the pasuk over there? So the Gemara says, "Amr debe Rabbi Yana is that no tain staka So how could it be possibly be that you're going to be doing a good thing and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to call you on that as well? So the Gemara gives a couple of examples over here of doing good and meanwhile not so good. So let's say you give a tzedakah to an ani publicly. So on one hand, great, you gave tzedakah. On the other hand, you also embarrassed him. So kihad Rabbi Yana chazel u'gavet kayav zuzel ani b'far hesya. Gemara backs this up with a story. Rabbi Yana, I see somebody giving tzedakah publicly. And Amrle Mutav Delo Yavtele Mihasha Diavtele Vikasafte. Let me tell you, it would have been better had you not given to him rather than what you did. You gave it to him, but you gave it to him publicly and you embarrassed him. Now, obviously, right, it goes without saying that someone asks you for money publicly. So obviously, you don't have to worry about the concern of his embarrassment. Meaning, if he's asking for money publicly, so then you can give it to him. We're talking about somebody who has a need, but is not public about his need. Right, it's an obvious point, but it's fine. I could still make obvious points. So somebody who has a need, but people don't know. And generally speaking, so tzedakah is given to him, but only privately. And now what you did is you gave it to him publicly. So now you understand that something which is on one hand good, on the other hand, in doing the good, you did bad. That's one example. Gemara gives a couple of other examples as well. Let's say you give tzedakah to a woman, but you give it to her privately. Ah, that's not good. In other words, because that now you arouse suspicion. Because what are you doing alone with that woman? In other words, even if you're doing good, even if you're giving her tzedakah, but you're doing so privately and you're arousing suspicion, that's no good. So that's another example of im tov im ra. Gemara gives another example. Rav Amar zemer shagal ishto baso sheni mechutach bar vishabasos. So let's say you go shopping for your wife, you send her something home. And you do so on Erev Shabbos, and the food is highly unprepared. So the example of the Gemara is that you send her meat. The meat was not yet cut, and you send it to your wife right before Shabbos, right shortly before Shabbos. And so now what's going to happen? There's already an Erev Shabbos as Shabbos is approaching. Stress is high, and the anxiety is high, and you got to prepare. So fine. And now what you're going to do is that you're going to increase the stress in your house. Ah, but I sent home food. I did good. That's exactly the Gemara's point. In other words, these kind of subtle points where you're doing good, but at the same time, however, you're not doing good. So the Rava Mishagir, so the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I happen to know that Rava, in fact, sent meat home on Erev Shabbos, and he sent it to his wife. And so he seems to be violating exactly what we said you shouldn't do. So the Gemara says, no, Rava was married to the daughter of Chista. Shani Bas Rav Chista de Kimle Begave de Bekia. So he knows that his wife can handle it. She was a bucky. She knew how to cut meat. She knew how to traber. Whatever needed to be done to the meat in order to prepare it. So she knew already exactly how to take care of it. And so this did not create extra stress and anxiety within the house. Therefore, it was fine. Rav Yochanan came out to Laikra Bachi when Rav Yochanan got to the following pasuk. So he cried. Okay, is this going to be now our fifth occasion on today's daf? I believe so. I should have counted. But my count would be inaccurate because it really goes back to yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf already numerous psukim that caused Amoraim to cry. But today we're really focusing on Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan, now we are not working in any kind of order in terms of the Pesukim, which I think is, you know, it's fair to wonder. In terms of, we went from Eov, which is in Ksuvim, to Malachi, which is in Nevi'im, to Kohelis, which is in Ksuvim, and now we're going to the end of Chumash, right? The end of Sefer Dvarim. Okay, so in terms of order, I don't know. But anyway, Rav Yochanan got to the following Pesukim, Kimat La'ikra Bachi. So what you're going to be finding are a lot of bad things. So it's bad enough that bad things happen, but the master is now going to cause them to happen. He's going to present them to a person. We don't have a chance. So my raos v'tzaros. So what's pshat in the pasuk? So I'm a rav raos and also tzaros. So it's bad things which are also going to be tzaros. Now we're going to use the word tzaros like in Yevamos. Okay, so as we are approaching Yevamos, okay, so always cause for me to pause and just take a, you know, small breath. But as we're approaching Yevamos, so we know that one of the chief aspects of Yevamos is a discussion of a man who had more than one wife. Having more than one wife, so that situation is called, the wives are called tsaros, so the co-wives, right? We're going to hear that term again and again throughout Yevamos. Anyway, you know why they're called tsaros? Okay, so because when you're married to more than one wife, well, we haven't experienced it now in just, you know, a little over 1,000 years, probably more. But anyway, but the, so yeah, so they, they're difficult to it's difficult to coexist with perfect understanding that they're going to be sharing a husband. Okay, it's not we are so not trained in thinking like this, so it's difficult for us to even envision and comprehend. But nevertheless, when married to more than one wife, so they embitter one another, and they're probably going to embitter you as well. So they are not sarzulazeh. So now, using that in this context, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring Ra'os. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us challenges, but the challenges are also going to be difficult one against the other. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says, I'll give you an example. Kagon zibura va'akrava. So let's say you're bitten both by let's call it a bee and a scorpion. Okay, my translations are probably imprecise, but doesn't matter. And Rashi over here says, in order to understand this, you have to know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. What's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? Gemara in Avodah Zarah teaches us how to treat both of these ailments. Okay, for one of them, okay, Rashi writes over here, but it doesn't really matter for the point that we're about to make. For one of them, you need cold water. For the other one, you need hot water. And then, alternatively, for the one that you need cold water, hot water is adverse. It's bad. And for the one that needs hot water, cold is bad. And so now what happened is that you got double stung by the bee and the scorpion. Now you want to treat one, but the treatment that's good for and beneficial for one is going to only exacerbate the other condition. Okay. So now you understand. Okay. So now, Shmuel Amar. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, so Zeh Mamsim. So Rashi says this is going back earlier. By the way, Rashi understands the statement of Shmuel over here. See the Rashi is Mamsi Malsani Bishas Doko Al Elkai Imtovi Imra. So we're going back to Imtovi Imra. Okay, so we just took a small break just to explain that pasuk in Devarim. But the way Rashi understands it, we're now going back to you're doing good, but meanwhile it's bad. Okay, so we already gave a number of examples of you're doing good, but meanwhile it's bad. Giving the examples that we gave so far, giving charity in public, embarrassing the person, the recipient, giving tzedakah privately to a woman, which will arouse suspicion. So sending meat home on Erev Shabbos, close to Shabbos. So it's good, but it's not good because you're only adding stress and anxiety in the house. And the Gemara now gives another example of this. That's the way Rashi understands it. Shmuel Amar Zeh Mamsil Amosel Ani B'Shas Doko. So you give charity, but not on time, meaning only in the last hour, in the 11th hour, as the expression goes. So now the Ani is going to be forced into a position where he's going to have to spend the money right now. Okay, so having money where you have normal cash flow, and so that'll give you now more comfort in terms of when to spend the money and spending the money more judiciously. On the other hand, if you don't have money at any given point in time, your cash flow is really poor and you're only getting money at the last moment, so now you're going to be stranded in whatever the cost is right now, that's what you're going to have to spend on it right now. So it's good you give stuck. On the other hand, right, only when the need really presented itself and you knew he needed money and you could have given it to him earlier. So that's Imtovi Imra. It's good, but it's bad. So, B'shas Tocho. Amarav Ahinadar Me'inchi. Zuzalei Leila. Lo Shchicha. Letilso Shchicha. Okay, so, and Rav says, and now you understand, this is a famous expression, it's a popular expression. Not for us, but Bizman HaGemara, so people said this. Okay, so we don't use this expression, so we're going to struggle to try to understand the expression because it's not popular amongst us. So Rashi says that a leila Rashi liknos atvua demetargin valita so when purchasing wheat, so for that money's at a premium. So inch zuze leila lo shchicha. So if you want to purchase money for wheat, meaning in advance, that's difficult. People don't have that. But letilsa, now Rashi really struggles over here in terms of a pshat. Rashi, I'm going to go with Rashi's second pshat, v'linira, liknos b'shas atchak, mazut shu tola b'salo. So in other words, if you need food right now, for that people have money. Okay, so in other words, when buying long-term, so people don't have money, but buying for the right now, for the needs right now, so for that people have money. Okay. V'chara api, ki bo ba yomahu ve'azavtim v'start t'panay mehem. Okay, so we are now down the bottom of Hamad Aleph, finishing up our first Amud of today's daf, and we're going to go back to Sefer Dvarim. Okay, so we already quoted one pasuk vaya ki simtzeno so raos rabos v'tzaros, and we offered a pshat in terms of what that means. We go back to the same parak in Dvarim, and Akash Baruch Hu is angry v'chara api bo ba yomahu v'azavtim v'start t'panay mehem, and there will be hasar's panim. Akash Baruch Hu will hide his face. Amar of Bardala, Bart of Yom Amar of Kol Sheino Be'Ester Panim, Eina Mehem. So everyone experiences Ester Panim, and if you don't experience Ester Panim, you're simply not a member of the tribe. Okay? Everyone experiences it. It's normal. So Kol Sheino Be'Vaya Le'Echol, Eino Mehem. And if you are not struggling at any point in time, so you're not a member of the tribe. Amrlo Rabban la Rava Marlo Be'Ester Panim Esav Lo Be'Vaya Le'Echol Isa. So it's funny the Gemara says, because they turn their attention to Rava and they say, you know, Rava, I got to tell you, you don't seem to be struggling at all. Not with Hester Parnim, not with food to eat. You seem to be doing okay. Okay. And so fine. So a challenge, right? It's challenging when you see people who are seemingly living life smoothly and without any challenges and difficulty, because everybody has challenges. And so what's Rava's answer? This is something that we really need to take to heart. And that is that the appearance may be that it's smooth and not challenging, but that's just the appearance. Everybody's got challenges, and Rava is no different. So Rava's response, Amar Lahu, he says to them, Mi Yedisu Kama Mishadrana Betzina Be Shavur Malka. So you don't know how many times I'm called to the office, right? Shavur Malka was the king at the time, right? We just discussed him recently in the daf. Anyway, so and Rava says many times I had been called into his palace, and it wasn't pleasant. These weren't pleasant meetings. Let's also assume that he had to give him a lot of money for whatever forms of bribery were necessary at the time. Anyway, not as smooth as you think. So afilo hachiyavu be rabban einayu. So meanwhile he got what we'll call the ayin hara, meaning an ayin hara. Just to explain it simply. And that is that they were jealous of him. And so once given the ayin hara, so now that's not good. So adahachi shado debe shemur malka vigarbuhu. And so what happened was, he was once again called into the palace of Shemur Malka. And while he was there at the palace of Shemur Malka, so his house got robbed. Okay. So Amar Hainu Detanya Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So the Gemara says, good. So now you know the brisa of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So we've heard this brisa numerous times throughout Shas, right? You can see on the side, Moin Katan Sota Nidarim. Okay, this comes up a number of other places throughout Shas, and that is called Malkum Shenasu Chachamim Einayim Omiso Oni. So when you get the Einay Chachamim, right, the Talmid Chachamim are giving you what we will call the Ein Hara. So then Miso Oni, then either you're going to die or you're going to become impoverished. One of the two. It's just simply not good. So to arouse jealousy, to attract attention, is not good. I'd like to suggest, although I don't know if I'm right about this, that I'd like to suggest that Rava didn't do anything per se to attract and arouse attention, right? Rava is one of the Amoraim Gedolim. He was he's the Baal HaMisora. I just simply say that that still the appearances that he gave off is that he was living good, and he wasn't challenged like quote unquote the rest of us. Okay. Anyway, Va'anochi Aster Aster Panah BeYamahu. Okay. So we already quoted this pasuk earlier in today's daf. The Gemara would like to revisit it. The Gemara would like to give it a little more attention. So the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hide his face from us. Amar Rav Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Afal Pishi Starti Panai Mehem Bechal Madaber Bo. So we're really focusing right now on the word Bayom, meaning so even though there will be Hasaras Panim, but that's only during the day. At night, so we'll have certain moments of clarity. So Rav Yosef Amar Yado Netuya Aleinu Shenemar Uchitzel Yadi Kisisicha. And Rav Yosef says that his hand is outstretched over us. Uvitzel yadi kesisicha. In the shadow of his hand, we're covered. Rav Shua ben Chananya Avakai be Kaisar. The Gemara tells us the following episode. Rav Shua ben Chananya was in the house of the Caesar. Achvele hahu afkerusa. So there was an apikarus that was there. And so what they were doing is that they were communicating with one another. Non-verbal communication. The communication was done through hand signs and hand gestures that we've seen already a number of times in the Beit Kesar. So they communicated in this form, right? A form of communication called machog. I don't know the etymology of the word, but that was the normal means of communication back in the day. And so over here, hand gestures between one and another. So the Rav Yeshua ben Chananya now is communicating with his apikoros. Ama de adrenu marila pe mine. So what the apikoros said, or not said, but communicated to Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya is HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his face from you, right? In other words, a classic argument made by other religions out there in the world, Hamevin Yavin, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were the chosen people, you were rejected, we're now the chosen people. Okay, so this is an old argument, this is not a new argument, and fine. So, Ach Velei, Yadon Netu Ya'aleinu. So what Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha gestured back to the Apikaris is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is still over us. Okay, it's interesting, because the Pasuk in context is not saying it in a flattering or a positive way. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, even as he's gesturing this particular Pasuk, right, and not good for the listening audience, but for the people here. So in other words, probably Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya, you know, put out his hand like this, and as if to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is still upon us. Okay. So, point is that the argument, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected you, chose another nation, chose another group of people, and the counter-argument is, no, that's not true. Good. So that was back and forth. Now, Amar Lekeis Elor Rav Yeshua, May Ach Vilech Ama, Da'adren Amar La'apei Minei, V'ana Machvin Alei Yadon Netu Ya'aleinu. So, the Kesar said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, I didn't understand the exchange. Could you please give it to me? And Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya gave it to him the exchange as he understood it, both in the that which was gestured to him and that which he gestured back. Good. So now the men also was asked a question. Now the Gemara's lashon over here, amru le, they said to him. I'm not sure who is talking right now to the Apikaris. It doesn't seem like Caesar, but regardless,
Caesar officers.
All right, officers. Good. Okay, it was somebody else.
He didn't speak directly to the people.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Right.
So what Ben's telling me is that it was officers, meaning because it wasn't Caesar, right? Caesar wouldn't speak to the Apikaris. It was beneath him. So the Apikaris was already in a bad position. But as you'll see in just a moment, it's going to go from bad to worse. So Achvile Amad Adrenamine Maremine. So when they asked him, the Apikaris knew, what did you say? What did you gesture to him? So he told them, I'll tell you what I gestured to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected you people and chose a different people. So, Omai Achvilach. Okay, good. So how did he respond to you? So, Lo Yadana. So at this point, the Apikaris says, I didn't quite understand what he gestured back to me. I lost that part. Okay. So, Amru Gavad Lo Yadai, Mai Machvile Bimachog. So, Yachve Kamemaka. So they said, that's ridiculous. You don't know how to communicate in mechog. Again, that's a form of hand gesture communication that was popular in the palace of the Caesar, and you don't even know. Meaning, you could speak a little bit, but that's it. But you really don't even understand. You have no business being here. And they weren't just ready to throw him out. In fact, afku v'kaluhu. They took him out and they killed him. Okay. So apparently, the Apikaris already had enemies within the palace. And this would just happen to be an excellent opportunity. The charges over here does not seem like it's worthy of a capital crime, but still, right? We only know part of the story. I bet you there's more in terms of what prompted him to be killed. But anyway, so they took him out and they killed him. Kika nichanav shed Rav Yishuv ben Hananya at a later point in time now, at the death of Rav Yishuv ben Hananya, Amalei Rabbanan, Mai Tehave Alein, Me'afi Koresan. So what will become of the Apikaris? So Amar Lahem Avda Eitzah Mibanim Nisrucha Chachmasam. So the Eitzah has gone away. The Chachma has soured. So Kevin Shavda Eitzah Mibanim Nisrucha Chachmasam Shulmas Olam. Look, they go hand in hand. Meaning, once our Chachma has declined, so their Chachma is going to decline as well. So we're always going to be operating basically at an even level playing field. So yes, yes. Now ve'i ba'izema me'acha ve'yamer nasa v'nelcha ve'elchala ne'decha. Another pasuk that speaks to this very idea that we're always going to be, there's always going to be a level playing field. Meaning that as our chachma declines, so their eitzah is also going to decline as well. And so it's bad, of course, that our chachma has declined. But at the same time, however, we're always going to be, they're always going to match us for good and for bad. Rabbi Yalai havasalik bedarga debay Rabbi Barshila. So Rabbi Eli was going up some sort of ladder in the house of Rabbi Barshila. Shamali Nuka Dava Kakari. He hears a child reading a pasuk in Amos. Kihin ikine yotze harim uvari ruach umagila adam masicho. Okay, so the pasuk in Amos, which Kadosh Baruch Hu creates mountains, winds, and talks to people. So Amar Evesh Rabo Magilo Masicho Takana Yeshlo. And once again, the pasuk is difficult, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly all conversations that take place. Kadosh Baruch Hu is privy to the conversations that are both public and private as well. So my Masicho. So the Gemara says, okay, and just give me examples. What does it mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu knows about private conversations. Amrav Afilu Sicha Yisera Shabein Ish Leishto Magidna Laladam B'Shas Misa. So B'Shas Misa, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows conversations, private conversations between husband and wife. Eni Va'avrav Kahana V'Ganet Tusei Puriyah D'Rav. So the Gemara tells a story. Now this story we're familiar with. The story we saw at the end of Brachos, and it is a shocking story, and it's going to be difficult for me to explain the behavior of Rav Kahana. Okay, so I'd like to, but it's going to be difficult. But anyway, but everyone here is familiar with the story. Rav Kahana was under the bed of Rav while Rav was intimate with his wife. Vishami desach v'tzachak, and so, but before intimacy, so there was a conversation that took place. They had light conversation, joy and being a little bit frivolous. V'asot tzrachav, and he was intimate with his wife. Amar dami pumi de Rav kamandalo time le tafshile, and Rav Kahana, while under the bed, said at that point in time that it seems like you haven't tasted the food, meaning right, you seem to be right now behaving in a manner that's not perfectly appropriate to that of a Talmid Chacham. So Amale Kahana Pok Lavar Chara. So of course the Rav's answer to Rav Kahana was not an answer to the question, but you have no business being over here. You don't belong over here. Okay, the story is on one hand certainly an indication of how much Rav Kahana wanted to learn from his Rebbe. On the other hand, it's perfectly inappropriate for him to have been in that position. That's probably the most obvious thing that I'm going to be saying today. Okay, so anyway, we are now going to just focus on one aspect of the story, which is that the sicha that a husband has with his wife is going to be called to task over that sicha b'yom ha-misa. And meanwhile, we shouldn't know this information, but we do, and that is that Rav had this kind of conversation with his wife prior to Tashmish Shemitah. So the Gemara says, lo kasha kan tzarech l'ritzuyeh, had lo tzarech l'ritzuyeh. So the Gemara says, well, no. In other words, if part of doing the mitzvah of onah with one's wife requires sicha, in other words, she needs the sicha before, so then that's not only inappropriate, that's perfectly appropriate, and that's a description of Rav. On the other hand, if no sicha is necessary, and you're doing so anyway, and you're just being frivolous for no reason, so that's something that you're going to be called to task for. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. V'im lo sishma'u b'mistarim tifke nafshi mibnei gava, or mibnei gave, if I'm gonna guess correctly. So anyway, so the pasuk in Yirmiyahu describes that those things which are hidden, so tifke nafshi mibnei gave, your soul is going to cry over the arrogant. So what is going on over here? The pasuk goes on to describe. Amar shmo bar ina mishmei derav makom yesh lo kash baruchu umistarim shmo. The place of kash baruchu is b'mistarim. The name of the place is Mistarim, and the name of the place is, of course, significant in that not only is the place hidden, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is hidden as well. My Mimnei Gaveh. So what does it say? Tifken Nafshi Mimnei Gaveh. Your soul is going to cry over that which is arrogant. So the Gemara gives a couple of explanations over here. Amar of Shmuel, Bar Yisrael Mimnei Gavasam Shal Yisrael Shinitla Mehem Benasna La'ovdi Kochavim. So the elevated status of the Jewish people taken away from the Jewish people and handed to Ovdi Kochavim, and that's Tifken Nafshi. And for that, my soul cries. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar Mimnei Gavaso Shel Malchus Shamayim. So when the Jewish people are downtrodden, when they're reduced, when they're lowered, so who's crying? So the elevated ones, meaning Shamayim, up in Shamayim, they're crying. So the Gemara says Mika Bichia Kamei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Really, does that exist? Hakadosh Baruch Hu cries. So Vahamar Papa In Atzevus Ofnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar Hodva Dolafanavos VeChadva Bim Kamo. There is no atzefus in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's chedva, there's joy, there's happiness. So lo kasha habe bebate gavai habe bate barai. So the Gemara says it depends which bais we're talking about. In the external house, so there is no crying, but internally, in the internal domain and location, there's crying. Okay, everyone, who knows me probably can expect to hear this from me. I'm gonna be true to form. I have no idea what's happening right now. Meaning that we're trying to give some sort of description of the mechanics and dynamics of how it works in Shamayim. And so, it's just a way that we can at least have a discussion. But really, the truth of the matter is that this is elevated discussions, esoteric discussions that go well beyond my understanding. There are people who understand this a lot better than I do. Good, right? I'm jealous. But the but nevertheless, what we're describing over here is some sort of crying that takes place up in Shamayim, but not bebate brai, but only bebate gavai, only in the private homes. So in the private house, I should say. Ubebate brai love aksiv vayikra Hashem Elokim tzvakos bayamahu levechi lemispeid ulakarcho ulachgor sak. Meanwhile, the pasuk in Yeshayahu describes how Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying, and it's known that he's crying. And so shani chorim beis hamikdash afilo malachi shalom. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's over Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Chorban Beis Hamikdash, that there'll be a bechi by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even in the Beis Brai, not only in the Beis Gavai. Okay. Let's go a little bit further this morning. So here, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And the Gemara goes on to describe and explain Amar Rav Elazar Shalosh Tamos Halal Lama. So if you look at that pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we just cited, and you'll count the number of tiers, there are three tiers in total. Achas HaMikdash Rishon, Achas HaMikdash Sheni, Achas HaYisrael Shegalomim Kaman. So one over the destruction of Beis HaMikdash number one, two over two, and three over the fact that we are sent into Galus. V'Igad Da'amri, Achas HaBitel Torah. And the Igad Da'amri says for Bitel Torah. Bishlam Laman Da'amri HaYisrael Shegalo Hainu Dichsiv Kinishbar Eder Hashem. So the first pshat really fits in better with the words of the pasuk, as it's describing that the Eder Hashem is taken into captivity. However, sorry, Laman Damer Al Bitul Torah Mai, but for Bitul Torah, so how does that fit into the pshat in the pasuk? So Kinishba Eder Hashem Kevin Shegal Yisrael Mem Kamam En Lecha Bitul Torah Gadamizah. Okay, when we're on the run and we're running around. So that's by definition a necessity going to cause Bitul Torah. So in a chinami, meaning we are being sent to the galus, but it's the galus which is the cause, and the effect is going to be the Bitul Torah. And for that, that's the tier that's falling. Tanu Rabbanan Shoshah Kadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Alein B'chol Yom. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying on behalf of three people daily. Al she'efshar lasuk b'Torah ve'eino osik. Somebody has the ability to learn Torah, and he does so. Al she'i efshar, ve'eino osik, and he doesn't learn Torah. Al she'i efshar lasuk b'Torah ve'osek, somebody who's unable to learn Torah, and meanwhile he learns Torah. So it's so interesting. The Gemara is basically saying over here that for somebody to be engaged in constant learning of Torah, not for everybody, right? For some people, but not for everybody.
Maybe he's
at tears of joy. That doesn't sound that way, but okay. The and you have a leader who's arrogant, and he lords over the people, and for that, Akash Baruch Hu cries as well. Rabbi Avanaka Sefer Kinos Vekakari Begavei, Kimata Lai Psuka. Rabbi was reading Eicha, and when he got to the following pasuk in the second parak of Eicha, so he would cry, Yishlech Mishamayim, Eretz Nafal, Min Yadei, Amar Mi'igraram, Lebira Amikasa. And his comment on the pasuk is that the fall was a tremendous fall. We were at the top of the ladder, and the top level, right, the penthouse, if you will, and we're into a deep pit. Rabbi Chia v'shakli v'azli ba'orchei. So Rabbi and Rabbi Chia were traveling. Masa, and they got to a particular city. Amri ikatzor b'im rabban and hachal neizel v'nikbal apay. So is there a Talmud Chacham here? Because if there is, so we're going to go visit. Amri ikatzor b'im rabban and hachal ma'ora einayim hu. So they got to a Talmud Chacham, and it happens to be that he was blind. Ma'ora einayim sagi nahor. Right? The actual expression means the same thing. Right? Sagi nahor is an expression when speaking euphemistically. So in Aramaic, it's called saginar, which means that you have a lot of light. It's describing somebody who's blind. Okay, and so instead of saying it in the negative, you just simply say it in the positive, but everyone understands that it's a euphemism. Here as well, he's a ma'or einayim, which means that he's blind. Good, so Rabbi and Rabbi Chia now visiting a particular town. There is a Talmud Chacham over here. He happens to be blind. Amalei Rabbi Chia le'Rabbi Tiv'at lo tezalzal b'nisi usecha. And so Rabbi Chia says to Rabbi, look, you're the Nasi. So it's beneath you to go visit him. Rabbi didn't want to hear from that. He didn't like that argument. Ezel anava akbel akpei. Sorry, that's the end of his sentence. And Rabbi Chia says to him, I'm going to go, and I'm going to meet Mekabel the Talmud Chacham, but you're the Nasi, it's beneath you. So takpei ve'azel behadei. Rabbi asserted himself, and he went as well. He have a mifter emine. So they visited the Talmid Chacham and they were leaving him. Amar lehu atem ikbaltem panim hanirim ve'ina roim. So you saw a face that can be seen but cannot see. A description of himself. Tisku lahaklo panim ha roim ve'ino nirim. So you should have the schus of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who sees but is not seen. Right, the opposite. So Amar le iku hashem in asa mehay birchasa. So Rebbe turns to Rebbe Chia, and Rebbe says to Rebbe Chia, you wanted to withhold that bracha from me? That was a phenomenal bracha. And I loved it. And if I would have listened to you and not visited him, I wouldn't have received that bracha. No, thank you. So I write that's what you wanted to withhold from me. Amrule miman shaminale. So they asked him, where did you hear such an unbelievable bracha? Like, how'd you learn that? So me pirka de Rabbi Yaakov shmiale. So he says, I learned it from the shirim of Rabbi Yaakov. So he saw the face of his Rebbe every single day. Okay, so in other words, when you're seeing your Rebbeim, so there's something to be said about that. So Kikash, he got really old. So he says, I don't want to bother because he's older right now, and he just simply can't. And it would be, it'd be too difficult. So Amar Le Mizutar Mai Dechsib Behu Berabanan. The Pasuk in Tehillim describes that when you see a Talmid Chacham, even if he's old, even if he's closer to his death, but you see a Talmid Chacham, there's something to be said about that. If you see a Talmid Chacham in his death, and that's a zchus, so imagine seeing a Talmid Chacham while he's in his vigor. Rav Idi Avuah de Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Havaragel de Hava Azol Tilse Yarche Beorche Bechayuma Bebe Rav. So Rav Idi would travel 3 months in order to see his Rebbe for one day. Okay, and then in terms of a cost benefit, you would say to yourself, that's a lot of travel time for just one day of Kabbalah's Panim. Okay, and that's exactly the point. Meaning, correct. It's the cost benefit tells us that. The zchus of seeing your Rebbe is so great, it's worth it. V'avakaru le Rabbanan Bar Bei Rav Dechad Yuma. Okay, and they had a name for that. Bar Bei Rav Chad Yuma. You saw your Rebbe for one day. Chalash Daite Karei Nafshei Zchok L'Rav Ha'eya. And he had Chalishas Das, meaning the expression that was used to describe him was not favorable. It was a little bit pejorative. And so, okay, he had Chalishas Das. So, Zchok L'Rav Ha'eya. Okay, so I'm going to be mocked by my peers. Amalei Rav Yochanan Mematus Minachlo Tanish Lehu LeRabbanan, and Rav Yochanan realized at that point in time that, in other words, he was disparaged, and so he's going to have some bad thoughts about the people disparaging him. And Rav Yochanan pleaded with him, please don't. So Nafag Rav Yochanan Beit Midrash V'Darash V'Osi Yom Yudrashun V'Das Darchei Yechef Tzun. So V'Chibi Yom Darshan Oso V'Laila Ein Darshan Oso. What do you mean? Only during the day, not at night? You learn Torah for just one day a year. So it's as if you learned the entire year. So in other words, what Rav Yochanan darshan so that everyone understood and everyone was able to internalize is that, yeah, it's worth it, right? The 3 month travel just to see his Rebbe for one day, just to learn for one day, right? The even though his peers disparaged him, that's, you know, it it's not efficient. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan says there's something to be said about it. Okay. So, v'chi b'midas paranis, and the same thing is true regarding midas paranis as well. D'chsim. V'mispar yamim asher tartim es arts. So, the number of days that you scouted the land. So, in other words, they went out for 40 days. And meanwhile, how many years were they punished for? 40 years. V'chi arbim shana chatu, v'alo arbim yom chatu. Now, that's a little bit strange. Meaning that they were punished for 40 years, and meanwhile, they went out for 40 days. They only went out for 40 days. So you sin for one day of the year. It's as if you sin for the entire year. Okay, so basically what the Gemara is trying to explain is the onus doesn't seem to be matching the chait. The chait was for 40 days and they were punished for 40 years. So yeah, but an aver for one day is tantamount to a whole year. Okay, it's still difficult. There is a in Parsha Shlach. There's a Kli Yakar. Okay, I don't know Kli Yakars, but I know this one. So there's a Kli Yakar that does a beautiful job trying to explain how it is that the onesh really does not seem to match the aver. The aver was only for 40 days, and meanwhile the onesh was for 40 years. So the Kli Yakar does a beautiful job explaining it over there. See there. Our Gemara is also attempting to explain it. The Gemara just simply says that sometimes a day can match a year. Okay, but still, right? See the Kli Yakar there for more of an explanation. Adkan is a perfect place to stop. Let's recap. Let's review our day today. On the Amud Aleph of today, the review is very simple. On the Amud Aleph of today, Psukim that made Rav Yochanan cry. All right, a pasuk in Eov, Malachi, and pasuk in Kohelis, pasuk in Dvarim. So numerous Psukim that were just difficult, hard Psukim, talking about Akash Baruch Hu exacting retribution for avers that were done, and Akash Baruch Hu sets up the justice system immediately, and even Akash Baruch Hu knows about the Nalamos, about even the conversations that are quote unquote private conversations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it all. And so they're difficult psukim. And if you're really understanding, internalizing the psukim, so you read them and you cry. That was the Amud Aleph of today's daf. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, more or less the same, similar, but the Gemara also gives us a number of drushas throughout Tanakh. Some of the highlights in terms of what we learned is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's no crying by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's joy, there's Oz V'Hadar, there's Chedva in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But meanwhile, there's certain things that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get emotional about. But as I say that, right, we understand that we're only relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omniscient and omnipotent, and these ideas that we're assigning emotions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So like the Rambam writes, it's the Shabbat's a Ozen. It's just a way for us to relate and attempt to understand, but it doesn't really give us a real understanding. It's just a way for us to relate. So things like destructions of the Beis Hamikdash that will elicit that kind of quote unquote emotion. Kadosh Baruch Hu cries over three things daily: somebody who has the ability to learn and doesn't, somebody who does not have the ability to learn and still does. And the Parnas who is dominating over his subjects, meaning he has his power of position, but he abuses it, and that abuse of power is something that bothers Akash Baruch Hu tremendously. Okay, we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we pick it up in the bottom of the Yamun.